You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast to ever exist, period. I'm just joshing. It's me, your host, Mike Carroza. As always, I'm joined by our super producer and co-host, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's hip and happening, Mike?
Oh, you know, just we out here doing the thing that we're doing. And I just want to say, not to timestamp this episode, but I want to say a very, very belated birthday to Morgan Sanchez, whose birthday is tomorrow. And I did not wish you a happy birthday last year, so a belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm not going to wish it to you early because that is not, that's superstition will say don't do that.
Inappropriate.
But I will say happy belated birthday.
Yes.
As it, that's, that remains appropriate. And shout out to my wonderful, wonderful co-host. Shout out, Morgan Sanchez. Thank you for joining me every time, every single time we friggin' do this thing. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm at the Bullcast. We're back. This is Tuesday, friggin' February 25th. This the episode's day. It's coming out. That means that Chicago, done and dusted, in the rear view, baby. Let's skirt our way out of this friggin', I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, Chicago, since we're recording before I go traveling, I want to say thank you so much for coming to Chicago. All things going well. I'm knocking on every bit of wood I have. If everything goes well, shout out to everybody that came out to the meet and greet on Sunday morning and everybody that came out to the live EDH RecCast. And I'll also thank you to everybody who just said, hey, what's up, and grabbed a sticker, wanted to chat. It's really what it's all about, and I'm manifesting here. I'm really anticipating the good times is what I'm doing with this, and I really hope Chicago is exactly what it was last year, which is such a nice time. Meeting everybody rules, getting to play these games rule, and the stand-up shows that I did, no doubt, were all fantastic. I'm not I can be confident about that. That's for sure. That was a good time.
Hopefully, we all had more floor to sit on than we did last year. That's my hope and prayer with this event. If you can't find a table, hopefully there was more floor, because we were running out of floor last year.
We were running out of floor last year.
So
I'll say, shout out to the hotel bar that was real cool about my buddies and I playing there before it got totally taken over the last night of the con. And we were just drinking there, and we were like, do you mind if we play? And they were like, no, I don't care. And then so many people showed up. So shout out to that bar. Hopefully we don't overtake it again. But hey,
that's what it's
called.
Drinks,
baby.
That bar.
We were buying drinks. Yeah, that bar at the hotel. Shout out to them. Shout out Chicago. Great city. Lots of crazy stuff happening. Lots of fun stuff happening. And shout out to airlines. Shout out to The air traffic controllers and regulators who no doubt will have gotten their jobs back after seeing all these plane crashes happening in quick succession. We feel safe in your hands, America. I'm saluting permanently. Man, I am scared. I'm not going to lie. I'm just scared. I'm trying to be cool. I'm scared. I can't wait for Chicago. When we land and everything is cool, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be walking like,
Are you going to be the guy who claps? You should be the guy who claps.
Hell no.
No,
hell
come on. No, because that's a reason to do it.
No, that guy's always a loser. No, I know it is, but that guy's always a loser. I will, you know what? When the pilot's doing that thing where they stand right out in front of the door outside the cockpit while people are leaving and they kind of smile and they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to say, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I was so scared and you did a great job. But I'm not going to, the applause on the, no, they don't even hear that. Who's that for? For you to feel good about it?
I mean,
no, thank you.
It's more warranted.
I'll die on this hill.
The past couple months than it ever has been,
absolutely,
to be honest. So I would not think twice if somebody did it the next time I'm on an airplane. I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
I'd be like, you're right. You're
and
right.
You know,
I'm not going to do it, but you're right.
You know, absolutely. I'll say this. You know who's always going to have your back and making sure that you don't get too bad of a deal when things crash is Cardsphere.com. The amount of times that Cardsphere has sent off a little ping saying, hey, we know that this card is fluctuating a ton. You might want to toggle this on and off your haves list or your want list and save me a pretty penny. That's awesome. Cardsphere is our sponsor. Obviously, that seamless transition is the work of a goddamn professional. Thank you very much. Cardsphere.com. We have a referral link in the show notes, in either the description on YouTube or wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can use that. Sign up for Cardsphere.com. get used to it, baby. It's so much fun to trade on there. I put stuff that I forget that I put up there, and then somebody's like, yeah, I'll take it. And then I send it over, and I'm like, damn, now I can buy that freaking fancy version of a card that I've been looking for, which right now is the Bone Miser special guest foil. Ooh, I'm on the hunt. I am on the hunt. Do I want it in yellow? No, thank you. I don't get that. The first place treatment is not for Mikey, but the Bone Miser special guest foil. If I spot one in Chicago, money. Mikey's spending American dollars. Sure, it'll be $30 American, but guess what? That's $600. I won't financially recover from any of it. Morgan, I did just shout out the yellow cards.
Yes.
The treatment, the first place treatment.
Beautiful.
And I want to hear what you have to say about it, and also your hunt for things on cardsphere.com.
Yes. So I just opened a Finish Line bundle and super stoked because I pre-ordered it, and the box is foil. Like, this is a product I'll buy like every time.
The box is cool.
Two collector boosters and six booster packs with a box topper. My box topper was the black and white land, the rare that I'm forgetting.
Ooh, Bleachbone Verge.
Yes.
Gimme, gimme. Exactly. I love it.
But because it's a box topper, it is yellow.
Oh, damn.
So it's gorgeous. And then I ended up getting a swamp in a collector booster. The yellow treatments only come in the collector boosters, which is kind of a bummer. But
yeah,
trust, by the time that you are listening to this podcast, I am going to be having nothing but these Finish Line treatment cards on my wants list. So if you want to do me a solid, get me a birthday present, belated or no, they will all be there.
I mean, Morgan, what do you think of Web Strike Elite from the set? Because I've got that one as my box topper.
Oh,
the 3/3 for green that you can cycle for X green to destroy target artifact or enchantment. With the mana value equal to X.
That's got like cool art. The like kind of like Fink art or whatever, yeah. Like the 50s, yeah, like Hot Rod. The first place borderless.
No, not that one.
Oh.
Not that one.
Uh-oh.
Let me see if I can find it for you. Here we go. This friggin' guy.
Oh, what? Oh, interesting.
3/3, green, cycling X, green. Whenever you cycle this card, destroy up to one target artifact or enchantment with mana value X. An honest to God bomb in a limited format.
Yeah.
So good in limited. But a card that I don't know will have constructed implications. If it does, awesome. If not, I look at this pretty cardboard. It's just not for me. Morgan, do you want it? It's yours. It's got your name on it.
I'll trade you something for it. Bring it. Bring her here. But I got some recent acquisitions on CardSphere specifically.
Oh, gold.
Probably the bigger one is for my Eldrazi precon, the Modern Horizons 3 one.
Hit it.
It is Morophon, the Boundless, the super cool.
Oh, yes.
This guy.
Is Jack Hughes illustrated that one?
That's the Jack Hughes.
My guy.
That's right. Love it. And also, finally, for whatever reason, took me like forever to get, probably because I didn't just go and buy it and I was trading for it, was the Extended Art Chitter Spitter foil.
You love a Chitter Spitter.
I'm the Chitter Spitter girl.
You love a Chitter Spitter.
And it's so good. It's so good. So that's the one thing that's
good in that deck.
Yeah, it's taken my Squirrel deck from a 1 to a CEDH pretty quickly. So we'll talk about that later. But
I don't know. I think we need to discuss the brackets a little more so you get it.
Maybe.
I don't think Chitter Spitter's taking your deck to CEDH.
Well, I'm definitely, I mean, you say that now, but... So Rachel Weeks was really solid enough. So, well, first of all, we reached out to Charlotte Sable, who is a member of the new Commander Advisory Group. And she wrote an article.
I don't know if they changed the name.
They did change the name. The
Commander Advisory Panel
Foundation. It's whatever you want it to be, I think. And regardless, it's a group of like really awesome people who really care about the Commander format, really good at the Commander format. And in my opinion, are making like good decisions with the amount of information that they're getting and the support they're getting from Wizards right now. So Rachel Weeks posted, who is also a part of this group, has posted a cool little graphic for us. And I'm actually going to put it in the EDH Rec and Commander's Herald style guides because I want our writers to follow this. This is basically taking Wizards graphic between the brackets and like expanding upon it a little bit.
Yeah.
With more specific differences between each bracket.
Exactly. And so it's kind of on a gradient that's like social mm-hmm. focus deck building, the meta focus deck building.
Yep.
And it still keeps the exhibition core upgraded optimized CDH bracket terminology. So you get one exhibition, two core, three upgraded, bracket four is optimized, and CDH has its own thing in bracket five, right? So ultimately the brackets are pretty interesting. Like yeah. I think what I'm having difficulty with is the idea that people will kind of just default to being like, let's put this onto Architect, or like, let me look up, you know, what the game changers are on in EDH Rec, and looks like I'm not playing any game changers. I'm not playing any mass land denial, not doing extra turns, and my two card combos are like, that I don't have any two card comp. So I guess that's a two, but then it's like, nah, dude, this is essentially like the closest you can get to CDH without playing all those crazy cards, you know? So I think what it is, it's like, it's the guidelines are the official, like, if you have 1 to 3 game changers, you're automatically in three, right? You know, so like there's an element of, we have to, like Evan said on the EDH Rec cast, he can't do anything about people lying. You can't do anything about people acting in bad faith. So you have to approach this from the mindset of let's kind of go in with the bracket restriction list, you know, like in exhibition, for instance, there's few tutors, no two card combos, no extra turns, no game changers, no mass land denial, but it's the exact same list as two, the core. So what makes that different is, you know, exhibition is, I want to show off my casual theme deck, right? I'm reading directly from Rachel's version of the brackets.
Yep.
Versus I want a relaxed game with a satisfying ending, you know? So the decks that prioritize theme over function, they often have a goal outside of winning. Just kind of like, hey, I want to build a deck that's all about these creatures looking left. That's my deck theme, right? Great. That sounds like a number one. Like, it doesn't mean that it can't be stronger than, you know, maybe it's a little bit more supported and belongs in two, but that's something that you learn as you play the deck and as you work that out when you play more ones or twos or something. So it is an interesting scale. What I worry about is, like I said, the idea of being like, okay, I'm a three. My deck's a three. You know, it's the new seven. That's what happens when you get an odd number as you go to the middle. Gavin even acknowledged this, right? But I think if we nix CDH from the whole deal, because CDH is ultimately its own thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my decks and I think I definitely build like a two, but I play like a three or sometimes even four, you know? So it is a system I'm trying to get used to, but I'm having a difficult time with it. And I think the more time I spend at Magic Con, sitting down with people and having these discussions, the clearer it'll get. I just don't know where I land with this yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the key component here that everybody needs to realize is that it is a beta test, but it's not like a cop-out mm-hmm. for saying that it's half-baked, in my opinion. Like, this really is... I implore people to, whenever there's criticism of a system like this, to make a better system versus complain about the system, mm-hmm. right? Because all that gets you is spinning around in a circle and then you have no new ideas, you have nothing good to say, which is fine, have your opinion, do whatever. But mm-hmm. think about like the feedback that somebody like Gavin would want or Wizards would want to maybe prevent the seven or my deck is a three problem versus saying my deck is a seven or a three, you know? Because to me, I look at this bracket system and CEDH is not on my radar. We all know what CEDH is. No. It's miserable and terrifying and horrible. Unless
it's
you're into
not
that.
Those things.
Unless you're into that. So for somebody like me, I only see one through four. And the biggest difference is I'm still kind of shocked, but I mean, I get it because there's a lot of, dare I say, context to something like this. But the difference is between, yes. the difference is between something like two and three, right? Like, I personally think that all of my decks are twos. I don't run any tutors in any of my decks that are hard tutors, right? Mm-hmm. So no vampiric, demonic, imperial seal situation.
Those are game changers anyway, right?
Wouldn't that
be on three?
Exactly. Okay. But I suppose there are, you know, there might potentially be something like Fetchlands or Evolving Wilds, right? Which is a tutor, sure. Not a tutor. A tutor to me is something like, I need to find this card. But immediately.
make no mistake, brackets one and two say few tutors, you know, and that can oftentimes Magic players have shorthanded land tutors.
Do you think?
Like fetch lands?
Or just anything, honestly. So maybe like a hard tutor, more specifically.
Like a demonic tutor to me feels like out of to me that feels like it's a game changer. So let's put it on three or four. To me, a demonic tutor personally, if I'm talking about what I want and how I build, I go no tutors. I don't want a tutor. Put more cards on the deck. Let me see all the cards I put in this thing. But also, like the tutor thing, it just to me kind of betrays the idea of the format.
Yes.
Now the only deck that I run like specific tutors for. Is in my Secret Commander deck, the Ariette of the Charmed Apple and Three Dog Galaxy News DJ deck, where obviously I built that for the partner, like the Pride partner event, where you can have any two legendaries in the command zone, and that works. But let's face it, they're very strong. Nobody's letting me run those in the command zone. So I've dedicated three slots to just tutoring them up and put Caesar in the command zone because he works well with the deck. And you know, that's the only reason I've permitted myself to go into I'm tutoring, right? The only other tutors I can think of are like a Rampant Growth, are like fetch lands. And to me, that doesn't quite register as tutor.
Yes.
Right?
It's like resource. It's a different kind of mana is a different kind of resource than drawing
it's a different
cards
kind of thing.
Or,
but it is a tutor. And that's why it feels like one and two are spelling it out. Like a few tutors are fine. And the kind of tutors are like, look, if you want to play Diabolic Tutor and spend four mana to go get a card, like obviously that's fine. Am I gonna be like, okay, that, you know, I'm gonna, it's a bit of a shrug for me, but like that's not my deck, you know. So I'm not gonna be mad at it. I'm not gonna be like I'm not the one playing the deck, and I didn't build that deck. If I built that deck, no tutors, but I'm also, that's not me, right? So it is what it is. But,
I think for me too, as somebody who maybe like I don't brew a lot. I love adding cards to pre-cons. So like my opinion about this bracket system is going to be vastly different than people who are like constantly brewing decks, right? I'm very like picky with my decks. Like I want my squirrel deck. I want my Urza artifact deck. And I think those are good examples of kind of the difference between two and three. Like those minor nuances, like upgraded for bracket three. Is 0-3 game changers. And for me, I'm not running any game changers in my, what I would probably consider my Urza, updated Urza precon to be a three when it comes to power level, because it can hit out the gate real fast. I mean, we're talking about like, I'll dump my whole hand maybe on like turn one or two if I get a good enough hand, but it's not playing any tutors. There's no MLD in it. There's no extra turns, right? So all that stuff is off the list. It is a precon. But I have put synergistic cards in it, right? And remember, bracket three, decks are thoughtfully designed, powered up by synergy and additional card quality. So I've swapped cards that are maybe not good for cards that are better or do better or have more of a purpose and like, you know, chain, not combo, but like, you know, or just more synergistic with other cards, right? And again, Urza can get crazy, right? Urza's not a slow deck by any means. I mean, it's affinity for artifacts. It's zero cost, one cost, two cost. You know, all these things to just make stuff super cheap, right? Whereas, you know, the squirrel deck is maybe an upgraded precon with no game changers, still the same thing. I've put more synergistic cards in it, but it's still very slow compared to Urza. There's no, you know, real board wipes in that deck. There's no real bombs in that deck. It kind of requires me to, you know, mulligan to something like really good.
Sure, or she's get a good squirrely hand. Girly, it's, and you want to have fun with it. That's it. So it feels more like, I would even argue that, like, yes, it's a pre-con and it's been changed up or whatever. It's definitely a two, but the way that you're sacrificing like card quality for a theme,
exactly,
might even put it under a one. Like, it might even be like it's a pre-con and that's where they live in two normally, right? Is what the conversation has been. Bracket number two is pre-con bracket, but it could be that you're leaning into the oneness of the pre-con and that's where you live, right? The idea of a bracket system also isn't that you live in that bracket and that's the only place that the deck can perform. Like some decks, like you can have the nut draw with a two and beat a bunch of fours. That's like crazy, but it can happen. The other thing that can happen is that, like, if I play if I have a deck that's a two and I show up and everybody's playing, you know, they pull out their decks and they're looking at like threes, you know, I can probably look at that and go, this might be a little bit more difficult for me, but I'm going to give it a try because it doesn't feel like it's completely out of the realm of it, you know, versus it, you know, one bracket away from you. That makes sense. Two brackets might be a little difficult. Like, you're not going to look at, I brought a four to a table of twos and feel like I'm not going to feel good about that. Right.
Yes.
And now I also think that the pilot might have something to add to the deck. Right. So for instance, like I tend to build synergy first. I like to put a lot of time into my decks and then, you know, I upgrade them with every set and I go through what'll make it work and I try and I play test and I goldfish and I know, you know, this and that. Are these decks necessarily like, do they, are they adhering to the rules of a three more so than a two? Yes. Do they have game changers? Maybe not, but that still doesn't mean that it's a two, right? So it's already, we're in a three for sure. But then sometimes the way I play the deck might make it feel like a four, right? Cause I'm not playing like Fierce Guardianship or, you know, any of the free spells. I'm not playing Teferi's Protection. I'm not going with the best of the best. We're not looking at Cyclonic Rift in every deck here. I actually have it in one deck sideboard because if I wanted to
bolus
play against a little bit, well, it's only if I wanted to play against like an optimized deck with a deck that's honestly a two, you know, if I wanted to switch it up and maybe push a little further, I'd just make one cut and put it in. But all that to say, like, this bracket is the most important part of this bracket is that it's making people have the conversation a little bit more in depth than they were before. Because before you get down, you say, I have a seven. My deck's a seven. Okay, what does that mean? Now it's like, my deck is a three. Okay, do you have any game changers? Yes, I have one game changer. Is that one game changer the only reason that you have it in a three? Yes, I bought the pre-con and I made three cuts and I put three cards in. One of them's a game changer, so technically it lives in a three. Oh, okay, so I feel comfortable playing a two then. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. That's a conversation you end up having with these people, and that and ultimately, if you're in a play group and you only play with your play group, ignore all of this. You don't need it. You're having fun with your play group. You can use it to have the discussion, and it'll be like a better way to it'll make for better and more rich discussions with your play group. But ultimately, you're playing with your play group. You make the rules. If you don't like the ban list in your play group, guess what? Ban list gone. You know, like. That's the fun part about Magic. This is like, it's an official format in a bunch of ways, but like, it's not really the house rules, baby. Nobody, free parking doesn't give you shit in Monopoly. Sorry, Ken. A lot of people love that too. Like, they think you get money in there. It's not how it works. Hey, come on now. Anyway, my and point is, I think the brackets are going to bring a lot of discussions to table. It just means that know where you're at with your decks, come prepared to have a conversation. Shuffle up and play. If you want to forego conversations, tell everybody your deck's a four and deal with the consequences. You know, like I start building as a four. Like I think that's where you're not going to get much pushback. You know, people being like, hey, I built a four. All right, cool. I'll play against you with my four. And oh, it doesn't feel like that was a four. It's like, yeah, I just didn't want to have a conversation. Well, I probably would rather you did have that conversation with me. This feels like the where there's the least resistance is CEDH. Which is kind of nice. Anyway, Morgan, you had something to say before we look to the phone lines again?
I mean, I genuinely have to reiterate the fact that the ambiguity that people say is currently present in the bracket system, the ambiguity before was all there was. Remember that.
So okay? Much worse.
If I sat down with a stranger and said, hey, I have a pre-con, but it's upgraded, what does that mean to you? Yeah. Nothing in and of itself.
Yeah.
But if I said, you know, hey, I have this Urza artifact precon that has a ton of like affinity synergy and can be potentially pretty fast out the gate. And then I have a bunch of bruisers and I would like to say it doesn't have any game changers, but it is like pretty upgraded and synergistic. It's around like a three, but probably a two, you know, I have a range. Right. And you can, I feel like it's also okay to maybe have a range between two brackets as well. It's just better than trying to decipher what it means. Like, oh, is your deck strong? Do you have a powerful deck? Is it fast? Is there, you know, like,
yeah.
Do you have Rhystic Study? That's a question you can legitimately ask people now to say, yes, like, do you have a game changer?
Ask them. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I suppose you and don't have to tell them, but you do need to know what cards are game changers, and there are only 40. So, I mean, you can save it on your phone or whatever. I don't think anybody's expecting you to memorize these, right? Which I think is maybe a problem that people, a non-problem, right? They're like, well, how am I going to memorize 40 cards? Like, well, just look it up.
I think after a while, some people, like, the thing is, like it or not, this is definitely for more enfranchised players. The kind of people, the moment you start deck building online and you start looking at Scryfall and you start deciding, I'm going to go to my LGS and start playing, you're more enfranchised than 90% of Magic players in the world, according to Wizards of the Coast. You know, we're just the loudest ones because it's what we're passionate about. So ultimately, you're already there. You're an enfranchised player, right? So this is definitely a tool that's going to be good for you. You're going to be able to use this a lot more, and you're going to be able to figure out what you want out of the games, how you like to play, and how you like to express that want, that desire to play that style. So when you have all that, you're good to go. I did want to say before we maybe look at the lines here, I had an excellent experience with Fetch and Shock Games out in Alberta. Say in Alberta, Alberta. I ordered cards from them using Snapcaster, which is like a Canadian website that points out all the shops that has a card that you're looking for. And they were the only ones that had the Crystal Skull Lucius Spyglass in Canada. This is when we were having difficulty with the postal service in the United States, and I wasn't even going to bother with looking out there. And so Fetch and Shock Games, they were very helpful, but the package got lost, and they hooked me up. You know, they refunded my order, and then they were like, you know, look, if it does end up getting there, it's, you know, that's on us, so that's fine. But I did want to say, like, they made it so easy to talk to them. Customer service was like top tier, and I just wanted to give them a shout out and say thank you for being so understanding. I was ordering cards for Chicago like a month ago, and they hadn't arrived, and, you know, rather than being like, look, I can give you store credit, they hooked it up as an exception. It was very nice of them. So I do want to say, like, they're an online store, Canadian, and they had a bunch of stuff that I was looking for that I couldn't find anywhere else. So, you know, that includes Cardsphere, unfortunately. I couldn't find what I was looking for on Cardsphere, and so I ended up looking on Snapcaster, and I found it there. That said, shout out to Cardsphere. Normally they have everything I'm looking for. And shout out to Fetch and Shock. Thank you so much for being so understanding. Morgan, are we sitting on some calls? Because it feels kind of quiet. We've been talking for a little bit
now. Oh, yeah. We're leaving somebody on hold here.
Oh, well. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to check that out then. Let's answer the phone and see who we're talking to. We've got a caller on the line. Who are we talking to today?
Hey, Mike. My name's Ryan Nicholas, a.k.a. Tron is Bad. Short time caller, long time listener, first time here. What's up?
What's going on, buddy? Nice to hear from you. How you been?
Nice to hear from you as well. Thanks for having me. I've been pretty good. Past couple days have been kind of rough, but, you know, I'm here. I'm living. I'm alive.
Yeah. Past couple days, we're going to tip the hat right now, even though this is coming out deep into 2025. We are post-election, you know, the first little bit of it. Couple days are bad. I don't know if that's what you're alluding to, but that seems to be what everybody means when they're telling me that these days.
Partly, one of my close, longtime New Jersey buddies, also, he's no longer with us as of...
Oh, sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah.
My condolences.
I appreciate it. It's been kind of rough for, like, my group, but, you know, we're here celebrating his life. Shout out Joey Black. We're keeping on.
Oh yeah, man. That's the way to be. You got to keep that memory alive, and you know, you give it up for that person. I don't know. Is this somebody you've known for a long time? Was it through like a community? Somebody you grew up with?
Yes. I've known Joey since, God, probably 2009, 2010.
Damn.
Been a very long time. He was one of my buddies from the hardcore scene, the show scene.
Oh, yeah.
In music. And he, if it were not for Mr. Joseph Black and one of my other friends, Martin, I actually would not be here today. So quick story before we get into anything else. It was a Halloween party I threw, I want to say in 2011. And I was, what's the one thing that you're not supposed to do when you throw your own party? You're not supposed to get blackout drunk.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
I was the worst one at the party. I was the absolute worst one at the party. Tanked. Like I said, if it wasn't for Joey and if it wasn't for Martin, I wouldn't be here, because at about like 2-3 in the morning, they're like, "Where's Ryan?" Like, everyone's like, "Where's Ryan?" Oh, and no. Joey and Martin are banging on my bedroom door, and I'm choking in my sleep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I started throwing up. So if it wasn't for Joey and Martin, I wouldn't be here today. So I owe everything to them, and I owe everything to him. So I've been taking this one pretty rough. Shout out Joey Black.
I mean, the guy doesn't have to save your life for it to be rough, but it doesn't help to, like, you know what I mean? It's like, absolutely. Well, first of all, shout out to Joey Black for keeping our boy around. And then also, I'm sure, shout out for the life you led and your memory lives on. From the hardcore scene, that's the thing. I grew up going to punk shows and I was in bands and, you know, all that stuff. So I know the bond of a hardcore scene, even though I don't see all those people all the time still.
Yeah.
And it is wild how it can swing in either direction of, like, either the best people you'll ever meet in your life
or the absolute worst.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It turns out music is a unifier in a lot of good and bad ways.
Agreed.
Man, what was the deal back then? Like, were you also in bands? You said you were part of the hardcore scene.
I was. I've been in and out of a couple different bands in my life. Did a couple tours throughout my time, towards the tail end of it. I haven't been to a show in years at this point. The last show that I was ever at was, I think it was in 2021 or 2022. I was seeing this one band called Contention and this other band called Roseblood. And Roseblood's from New Jersey, so shout out the Roseblood homies. And during that band, someone knocked me over and I snapped my ACL.
Jesus.
So I went home that night and I was just like, that is my body telling me I'm too old now. I'm
done. Oh my God.
I'm good. Damn,
that's messed up. That sucks. Yeah, so, I mean, that's my worst fear. I thought I broke my ankle at a. And we're back. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're just going to say we're back. Anyway, Ryan.
We went on a little, listen, everybody. Look, we went on a little tangent about a past business.
It's not gonna be easy to keep this one on rails, but we have to try because both of us need to get out of here to do magic-related content.
That's fair.
So, yeah, you know, we could say this was coming at you. We're recording a night where Ryan is playing on a friend of the show, Kuro Hitsuki's stream, which in all likelihood at this moment, when this episode comes out, is happening tonight. So go check it out. These come out on Tuesdays. So look at us. We're plugging Kuro Hitsuki, who famously does not like group hug.
That's so funny.
Get in the chat. Go watch him on Twitch. Check out the stream. There we go. We're planning ahead. What are you playing on the stream?
I'm playing Arabella Abandoned Doll.
It's son of a gun.
It's one of the newer ones. I've never played this before. I just finished building it a few days ago. And all it is it's very low to the ground. It's very aggressive. And there's a lot of ways to protect Arabella.
It's what it says on the tin. It shuts games down quick.
It's just that's what's going on.
That's fun, man. I'm
excited.
I do want to ask you about your pet peeve or the story, but I also want to get to know you as a Magic player because a lot of Magic content creators, we kind of get a sense of who they are as a player, but I feel like from what I've seen of your content, what you're doing online, tweeting online and stuff, I don't know what Commander stuff you're into. I know what
really not into Commander at all.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, there we go. All right.
So I hear me out. I am now at least doing a lot more with Commander, a lot more with content, because that's where all my friends are, and I want to be where my friends are. You know what I mean? I want to hang out with the homies more, because, like, if you specialize in just a niche within the Magic community, you're kind of closing yourself off to everything else. And one of the biggest thing when it comes to competitive and professional Magic, a lot of them have said in the past, you really cannot be good at the game unless you play every kind of Magic. Expose yourself to everything. I play Vintage, I play Legacy, I play Modern, I play Pauper, I play Limited, I play Commander. I play Standard. Mm-hmm. I do everything. The only deck that I actually haven't built is a pre-modern deck, which I really want to because those seem like a lot of fun. Yeah. I actually also shout out, I have Eternal Weekend coming up in just under 2 weeks where I get to play Legacy and Vintage for the whole weekend. So I'm really excited about that.
You mean the guy whose handle is Tron is bad is stoked about Vintage Legacy?
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. But yeah, so what I do with Commander specifically, mm-hmm. I just build whatever I think is cool. I have just different decks. I went from zero decks to now I have six or seven of them.
That's the slippery slope, buddy.
It's a slippery slope. I've only ever played one game of recorded CEDH before. Shout out to the Play to Win boys.
Yep.
I won't spoil it for you, but it was a good episode if y'all haven't seen it. Somebody may or may not have played a turn one One Ring. But it's a good time. I play what I think is cool. I built Arabella. I have a mono green Tyvar deck. I have a Miriam Dragons deck.
Classic.
My most played commander deck right now is I have an Astarion Drain and Gain deck.
That's fun.
And then my CDH deck is Duretti Artifacts, where I can just I can Rings of Bright Hearth, Aetherflux Reservoir, the whole table.
Turn one, One Ring, maybe.
Yeah,
who knows? We don't have it for real.
Essentially,
we don't know for sure. Someone, yeah. you said someone did it.
Someone did it.
So,
but yeah, that's basically what I do. I don't have a colorless Tron deck in Commander.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit more of a tall order, but I'm thinking like in 60 card formats where it's legal. Yeah. I guarantee you gotta. But I'll say this: do you feel like your attention to 60 card formats and more like one-on-one competitive kind of out of your system? And when you build for Commander, do you feel like you're feeding the same beast, or are you like, I'm building what's silly and fun and I'm going with vibes?
That's literally what I do. When it comes to Commander, I don't look at meta or net decks for like Commander or whatever. I literally build my Commander decks purely off of vibes or like what I have in my bulk box. That's just
nice. Easy.
Most of the decks that I build, I do not change. I build them and I'm done, and I just play them. Yeah.
I could not be further from your style. I'm online. I got my Architect open and I'm running through it and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm building now. I'm bored of it. It has to be something that sticks before I buy the singles and the versions that I like.
I am a buy a premium card and then ask about it later.
I'm also that guy. I'm also that guy. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes a card's just pretty. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I own
pretty cardboard.
I own just about every version of Tron in Modern and foil.
Yeah, that's sick. Good for you.
You got the thing
you love, and you're like, I'm maxing out on it.
That's why, dude, I love Tron. I've been playing nothing but Tron since like 2016. That's why I made my name Tron is Bad. And for what it's worth, on Twitter, before I gained any kind of like acceleration within the community at all, I coined the names Tron is Bad, Tron is Good, and Tron is Okay, and I own all of them. So I was like, when Tron is good, I'll make my name Tron is good. When it's okay, I'll make Tron is okay. When it's bad, I'll just make Tron is bad. And then I sat there one day and I looked at the three names and I said, Tron is Bad is just such a funny name.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just really funny. And I was laughing at it. I got a really good laugh at it. And I was like, you know what? I'll just make it Tron is Bad, period.
And you know what? Worst case, you can take us back to the 80s and call it Bad the way they meant it.
Oh, exactly. Tron, that movie sucked.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, I meant the slang, like, oh, that he's bad, you know what I mean? Like,
whoops, I'm gonna make also, people upset with that one.
And that movie did suck. No, we're sticking to every gun.
All right, good.
Speaking of punk bands, stick to your guns.
Absolutely. Nice.
So Ryan, you're calling into the show. We know a little bit more about you as a Magic player, as a Commander player. Mm-hmm. We know more about you with your torn ACL. Ryan, I gotta ask you, what's got you calling in? What do we want to talk about today?
Well, Mike, I remember I was playing Modern at a Locals one night, and I'm playing Eldrazi Tron, and my opponent is on Mono Blue Tron.
Oh, wow. Shocker. Okay. So I'm playing Eldrazi Tron, where you can like smash in really hard with like Reality Smasher, or you can just use Karn the Great Creator to fish into the Karn toolkit and grab out whatever you need. Totally. And my opponent's playing Mono Blue Tron, which is also trying to do the same thing, but Mono Blue Tron tries to take infinite turns with like Mindslaver and like control your opponent's turn, Academy Ruins, etc. Mm-hmm. Also has a Karn board. Basically, it's a pissing match. Whoever gets Karn the Great Creator first shuts off the other person's deck, can use Liquid Metal Coating to blow up your opponent's lands.
Absolutely.
Whatever. So it was in game one, I just like destroyed my opponent, right? Like I had Karn the Great Creator first. I got the high roll, like I won game one. Game two.
Is there any sideboarding when you've got a Karn board? Or is it just kind of like,
you can still sideboard. Absolutely. Depends on how you build it.
I'm saying, like, is that like standard practice where you're like, you called it a Karn board, like parlance? Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay. So you've got some room in there.
You have some room. Like for example, in my Karn board right now, like I have like between 10 to 12 artifacts that I have that Karn can tutor out from the sideboard. And then I have like 3 dismembers, because like dismember is just like very important. And you just put those in for like the Magus of the Moon decks, et cetera.
100%.
So my opponent was at turn 15, and the turn before my opponent, listen, my opponent was at 15, the turn before my opponent scooped, I casted an Ulamog to blow up 2 of their towers. My opponent after that had a Urza's Mine, Urza's Plant, and Urza's Plant remaining. So before I exiled the both of their Urza towers, I was saying that dangerously carefully to make sure I didn't say something.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. But I felt the tightrope walking. Yep.
And on board right now, I have an Ulamog and a Reality Smasher. My opponent had accused me of overkill and got like very, very, very salty before I made the decision to get a Walking Ballista with Karn to clear the rest of his board, to make sure that I had only one turn of lethal. So, thoughts? Am I the bolus?
So, hold on a second. So, what's the question here? Because to me, this just sounds like exactly what I want Modern to be. Like,
okay. Look, okay, so
it's one-on-one.
Yeah. Was I putting myself in an overkill position when I already had lethal of Ulamog for 10 power and Reality Smasher for 5 power, when my opponent was at 15, but my opponent also had blockers out? Am I the bolus because I grabbed a Walking Ballista to clear their board?
Ryan, this might be the easiest one, and I think we might not even need to go back to the bookends and talk to Morgan about this one. First of all, 1v1 format, I don't care. It's like, we're literally, I don't know if people forget this, but if you're competing, you're competing. You know, it's not like,
absolutely.
This was at a competitive event, I'm assuming, at your locals. You said it was, were there prizes on the line?
Yep, prizes were on the line. It was round one.
Was it possibly a qualifier of some sort? No, it wasn't.
It was a Friday Night Magic.
Friday Night Magic. You're there to win prizes. You're there to compete, right?
Yep. The reason why everyone was there for that Friday night was because on Saturday there was Modern RCQ. So everyone was practicing.
Wow. So you're basically wow. Yeah. Okay. So you're basically in the breeding grounds of like the next, like the training grounds, not the breeding grounds, the training grounds of the RCQ, posting up against, first of all, Mono Blue Tron. Let's be real for a second. Yeah. Why are you picking blue instead of just like, it can't just be the Mindslaver stuff. You got free spells, dog.
Yep. They had Force Negation. They had Counter Magic. They had the Delve, the X spells that counter spell. Like, they had everything. They didn't want me to play Magic.
It would be more insulting than anything if you didn't do the due diligence to take the win. That's how I feel about it. If you're competing, look, if this were Commander and it's down to the last two people, and it's like supposed to be a friendly match, and you're like, I'm going to blow up all your lands. Like, if that's not the vibe of the game, and people, like, the whole table's mad and everybody needs to go out for cigarettes, and they tell you to sit down. Right, please don't come out with us. We need a break from you. Like, then it's a different story. You're at a pre-RCQ FNM.
Yep.
Playing competitive Magic.
Literally.
Against somebody. I don't know. It's fair to be tilted. I'll give that guy that. That's for sure. Yeah. It's fair to be upset about it. Your thing didn't work.
Bro was talking about it for the next three rounds, telling everybody that I was being an a-hole.
You know what? Okay, here's how I feel about this story. If Cedric Phillips heard this story, he'd be like, what? It's Magic.
That's what I'm saying.
What do you mean? You're not going to do everything you need to do to win?
To win.
I'm sorry.
That's how I was taught.
This feels like the kind of story that Cedric would like flap his hand off, like shoo it away, being just like,
go, this is, stop.
You're wasting my time with this. Yeah. This is the most obvious instance of competitive Magic. We're playing to win and you're mad at it. Stay mad. Actually, it fuels me. 100%. That's the Cedric line.
It fuels me. Okay, listen, for real, and this is going to be a take that not everyone agrees with. I think more people need to look at the game the way that Cedric does. That's it. It is a take.
That's a take.
And I'm going to stand on that take because I respect the way that Cedric looks at the game because he is there. He is with the competitive spirit. I respect that a lot.
I will agree when it comes to the competitive spirit. I don't like that he writes off Commander completely. I think that's doggy doo-doo donkey. Yeah. And I'll be glad to talk to you about it on this podcast, Cedric, if this ever makes it to you. I think writing off Commander entirely or not even like having a cursory glance at it is like, all right, he used the ZDH rec to check out the best Commander card from the set they're reviewing on Resleevables. So he has to have been exposed to some of this.
I think that Commander even more so now, obviously Wizard.
Yeah.
Like Commander is Wizard's poster child, right?
It has been for years.
It has been for years.
It's gotten more and more competitive for sure. Yeah. That's what happens with power creep for sure. And
like
turning things into overdrive.
Look at the fact that dual Commander is now on MTGO and
pretty nuts.
More and more professional players are playing dual Commander.
I saw LSV.
Manguchi. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I just watched LSV play. What was it? A Dimir deck that just like was all removal and like 40 lands.
Yep. It was wild.
LSV's built. If LSV builds a deck and there's 40 lands, I'm looking at my decks with 36 going, I'm wrong. And that's fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm fine. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong at a thing. I'm not min-maxing. I'm not here to win. I'm here to have fun, put my engines together, and make the fun time happen.
Exactly.
I'm at the table to crack jokes and be a silly
LSV
boy.
LSV is there to make his land drop every turn and make sure that you are not playing.
Yeah. And he'll.
What is that?
It's so fun to watch him do limited on Arena.
Because
he's the first one I'm watching, and then I'll try to find Numat videos, and then Paul Chian, you know, a bunch of people. Reed Duke's doing them every now and then, but I'll watch the Arena stuff, and then when the dual Commander stuff came up, I'm like, LSV's doing dual Commander, and he's stoked about it.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Yep, but it's really cool to see people just enjoy playing. That's why Manguchi is one of my favorite players, personally. Yeah. He's also a buddy of mine, very stoked that I was able to meet him a couple years ago. But he's one of the reasons why, like, he's my favorite kind of player, personally.
He just looks
at playing the Magic, and he's just stoked to play Magic.
Yeah.
He just wants to play Magic. And I try to just be that way, and that's how I've seen myself getting over the past few years, and I'm finally very happy with my relationship with Magic, that I'm just stoked to be playing Magic whenever I'm playing Magic. I don't care what we're playing. I'll play Dandan. I'll play Commander. I'll play Dual Commander. I'll play
a pauper
game. You just put a stack of cards in front of me and be like, all right, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to play. We can play Party Box. We can do whatever. We're going to play Magic.
And you know what? That might be the conversation after we wrap up here, is that like this idea that we should try to be more like that, more like just be stoked we're playing the game. I get that, like, the game represents a lot. It's an outlet for a lot of people. It's like a community. It's a whole thing. But like, you know, the more enfranchised players, the types of people who are listening to this podcast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, just to remind yourself, like, oh my God, we get to just like hang out with pals and play this game, and, you know, and have a few laughs along the way.
It really means a lot to me too. Like I said, like Mangucci, Cedric, LSV, Reed,
yeah,
all these people that like I look up to and that other people look up to as well. When you see them just having fun playing Magic,
yeah,
that makes you want to have fun playing.
It's also fun to see it like without playing Magic, but surrounding the game. Shivam posting like a random card of the day and being like, I've never seen this card. And it's like, yeah, you have. You forgot the card. Let's be real. You've seen every card, Shivam. You've been playing forever. Right. But like, he's like, I don't think I've ever seen this card. It looks sick.
It's a basic land.
He loves Magic. And listening to him describe sets that they're going through is like, ah, that's the energy I want. But then I'm also tuning into like play to win. And I'm like, they're talking about lines that I have no idea what they mean. But I'm like, yeah, this sounds good. And they're like frustrated with each other. It's like, how are you going to say that breach freeze is the right way to. Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea what this means. I love their passion. But it is like, I think the mindset of it, and as it should be, we should just be stoked that we're playing this game. We're playing a game for fun. That's the best. That is best.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree.
But that guy that you were playing against was not having fun. And that is also fair because...
That's whatever. Fine.
If you're in a competitive mindset, like, to be fair, Cedric loses and hates it, right? Like, we're talking about the mindset. And he's told stories where I'm like, ooh, you are not the good guy of that story.
No.
But he's also told stories where you're like, in a competitive setting, that move, totally justified. You know, in any other setting, that move... Ooh, jail, you know, like,
so
we're talking about people who play like it's different vibes in different boxes, right? But I think overall, the base level should be, no matter what, look at us go. Like, this is community building. It's the whole thing. We're like, we are literally, I think about how Magic has given me a bunch of friends around the world that I don't think I'd ever meet or that, you know, I don't know how else our paths would have crossed. And I think that's like a beautiful part of it. And I take that into any stream that I'm you're about to hop on a stream. I don't know who's in that pod, but I guarantee it's going to be like, well, Curl puts together a good pod. It's going to at the very least, you got Curl there. Like
of course.
If that's the lowest the bar goes, that's a pretty high bar, right?
That's
Yeah.
I agree.
So it's like, you're starting the night being like, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy the company. I'm going to enjoy, you know, watching the colors on his stream go from, you know, see what the audience picks.
Which you just reminded me, this is totally off topic. I need to find an Impact Tremors before 9 o'clock.
Yo, I'll send one. Let me, hold on. I got it on my desk.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You need an Impact Tremors? Do you have a Planes and a Sharpie? I think he's fine with that.
That's probably what I'll do.
That might have to be it. I'll say your story. I'm tipping the hat. Your story, not the bolus, but I think there's more discussion to be had on the back end here about.
Okay, that, okay. So here's a am I the bolus then? Here's another one. Here's another one. Ready? And I'll make this one commander centric.
Okay.
Just so we can get some conversation going.
Okay.
I don't agree with people rolling the dice to make their attacks. Am I the bolus?
You know what?
That's a conversation.
That's a conversation for real. And I hate that you're doing this 5 minutes before we gotta go. Because my God, catch me on one day, I'll agree with you, and then another day I'll be like, it's fine. But I don't have strong feelings for it in a positive way.
No,
you know?
But I know that people have strong feelings about it, which is why I'm doing 5 minutes before we
that's
get off.
Fair.
Because I know that people are going to comment on that.
I mean, look, let them get this deep in the episode and finally be fired up about it. I'll say, you know what? You don't like it. That's fair. But that's because, look, if you're playing one-on-one, the die is rolled for you. You know what I mean?
Yep,
you don't have to make that call.
That's why it is for me. Like, I'm playing to win.
But for me, making a decision that if you're rolling the die, you're rolling it early or not at all. if it's late game and you're making a can't make a decision of who to hit, nah.
Have you not been analyzing the game this whole time? Like,
yeah, thank you. Pick the threat, diminish them. Period.
The best the best kind of removal is player removal.
Thank you. If I start the game and I go turn one, I'm starting the game turn one, mountain raging goblin, 1/1 with haste. I don't know, man. I'll let the die do that one. This feels like low impact, and instead of being like, but the thing is, also the other side of me is like, hey, let's go clockwise.
Oh, okay. See, I don't mind that.
Yeah,
everybody gets a turn.
Everybody gets a turn until somebody puts up a blocker, in which case, like, oopsie.
Exactly. That's done. That's why one of my favorite decks to have. I haven't built one yet. I really want to build a gold deck. Like, really bad.
Come back on after you had a couple games with that one. I have a feeling you'll have a lot more stories.
People
do not like gold.
I know.
It's so funny to me just how bad. I understand. Don't get me wrong. Taking away the agency of something so important as creatures, great. Totally fair to be upset about it. However,
I will build a goad deck. It'll be everyone fights everyone deck, and I'll call it New Jersey Dud Deck.
New Jersey. I think that's a good place to leave it.
Yeah.
I think New Jersey getting that final shout out is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
When you do build that deck, give us a call back, because I guarantee. I don't
Deal.
Know. Who,
I will.
It'll be that that Baldur's Gate mono red legend with a background that makes
Karlach,
it huge.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The other one, the Baratil, the entertainer. The one that
I'll
says
have to look it up.
Creatures with power equal to or less than it are goated. Like creatures
that's
your opponents
so
control.
Funny.
It's
that's so good.
I want to say it's I have it pulled up. Baloth Baratil Entertainer, 4 and a red for 2/5 legendary elf shaman with choose a background. Creatures your opponents control with power less than Baloth are goated. And whenever a goaded attacking or blocking creature dies, you create a treasure token.
That's so funny.
I'll build this deck. I don't even care anymore, man. I'll do it. You think I won't? I'll do it.
I don't care. I'll do it. I don't care.
I might not be from Jersey, but my spirit's from there for sure.
Absolutely.
My girlfriend and I were talking about this last night. We were like, I was like, I don't even know what my real voice is anymore. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know. Sometimes I just slip right into New York. Like, and it doesn't, I don't come out. I don't know what's natural anymore.
That's
and she's like,
whatever you feel is right.
And right now, this feels perfect. Ryan, thanks for calling in, buddy. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you want them checking out, and then we'll kick it back to Morgan and I in the booth.
What is up, everybody? Again, it has been an honor to be on the podcast with you, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Ryan Nicholas, aka Tron is Bad. You can find me on all social medias at Tron is Bad, or on TikTok, Tron is Bad NJ, because somebody has Tron is Bad and they won't give it to me, which is wild. But
time to fight.
That's where you time to goad. that is where you can find me. And yeah, I'll be at this is well into 2025, you're saying. So
yeah,
maybe I'll see
in.
A bunch of y'all at PAX Unplugged and Eternal Weekend.
Oh yeah. Well, Ryan, thanks for joining us. We're gonna head back to the booth, talk to Morgan about whether or not you're the bolus. And I have a feeling that, nope. Here we go. Ryan Nicholas, Tron is Bad, you sweet angel. Thank you so much for calling in and having the chat with me. We could have gone a long time talking about our time working for Apple and talking about all the bans that we've seen and injuries we've sustained, which we did spend a lot of time on that. Don't get me wrong, but thanks again for calling in, buddy. It was nice to have a chat. I do think that we know that you're not the bolus for playing, you know, 1v1 format and going hard on the player to make sure you win. I feel like that's a clear cut one, but then blindsiding us with an actually good conversation starter, a nice pet peeve to end on, and we didn't even get to discuss. Ryan, get back here. Come talk again. Morgan, before we get into what Ryan ended up asking at the end of the call, I wanted to ask you to tell our listeners, even if you're viewing just this on one? YouTube, not much to see. Our viewers, our listeners, the folks absorbing this cognitively in any sense, how the voting breaks down. Just give them a little bit of a quick little bit of a how.
Yeah,
how our
votes so we go through our little itty bitty judgment and we decide, we vote, and my vote counts for one and Mike's vote counts for three.
That's right. My vote counts for three.
Yep.
I get to win.
And that's it.
The whole deal.
That's all. Don't spoil it. You can't. They got to figure it out. You don't want to give them the answer to the math question. Mathing. Yeah. Come on.
So what is Ryan really asking here? Tell me.
So this is a weird one, but Ryan wants to know.
I love this one.
Am I the bolus for disliking when people roll dice to choose who to attack?
Morgan, what are your opinions on this? I want to hear from you first.
Honestly, it's always, I said this and I was thinking about this earlier inexplicably coming from the future. Uh-huh. I'm like, it's always that guy who does it too. And they don't do it like, you know, maybe I'm going to put a little spice in my combat. They're like, they're doing it every single time. Okay. So you can guarantee move to combat. Let me, you know, they got the dice. They're like, move to combat. And they're throwing out. They're like, all right, so which number do you want? But you're going to be four. You're going to be five. It's not one through four. It's going to be like evens, odds. It's going to be something crazy that you have to like pay attention to inexplicably that has nothing to do with the game, mind you. Right. And then they'll do it. And then there's kind of like a little cackling, you know, fly hand situation. They're always very proud of themselves when they do this, right? Like that's, I was going to attack you anyway. See, I had you on, I was going to do it anyway.
Playing against?
They're manifesting you on that role. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, okay. So
and,
you
and,
have to tell
and if
me
they're
then,
manifesting you.
You have to tell me then the person that you've played against who has done this and how they were different.
Here's my okay. So, do you want to vote before I go to my part of this? Do you want to tell me if you're the
Ryan's not the bolus for disliking that because I also
and
dislike
for the 1v1 thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna hit you with this. I understand if turn one you play a hasty 1-1 and you've got an open board and nobody's presented themselves to be a threat, you can do the die roll like whatever. Sure. Like, you don't want to ruffle feathers, you want to blame the chance? Fine. I understand if that's the theme of your deck, great. Playing Thraxamundar must be fun. But I'll say, you have information. People have flipped up their commanders. Hey, if there's a life gain deck at the table, I'll attack them first. Open attack for sure. I just think that, like, there's so much information in the game, and to leave it up to chance while, you know, the rest of the game is being played thoughtfully and you're like, I want to play this in the right time. I want to play this in the right sequence. Everybody's kind of taking their time trying to make the right play. And then you're just like, all right, so I've masterfully sequenced my main phase. Now on to combat. Well, I should attack with this guy, but where am I going to put it? I don't really have great attacks. I mean, if I attack here, you'll probably block that. If I attack here, you'll take four. And if I attack here, you can double block, but I don't really see you double blocking.
And this guy is really talking this out, anywhere. Too. He's not thinking about it. Like, he's saying this, like, while he's trying to, before he rolls the dice, by the way.
Right. And then you're like, I guess I'll roll the die to find out. It's like, No. Do you want player two to lose four life? Do you want this player to be forced to double block or take four? Or do you want this guy to trade with the thing that you're attacking with? Make a decision. Make a call. However, I will say, if it's the seventh game of the night, I'm saying seven, but like hell, even if it's the third game of the night and you've played a lot and you don't want to make those decisions, you don't want to really be thinking much, then I'm like, yeah, go for it. I get it. It's a very, very, very like intense game. It requires a lot of focus. Sometimes you just want to play the thing that you know is going to smash and you want to send it somewhere. Doesn't matter where. Sure. You're not evil for wanting to do this, but if this is what you do all the time, if this is something that you're doing at a pivotal point in the game, I'm out. I don't like it. I will, if somebody is like, we're turn seven and this attack can decide whether or not like another player is on the back foot or if they're in a commanding position because it's going somewhere else, or if you're deciding like I think I might need to leave, like you're attacking means that you might not be able to leave behind a blocker that'll make a difference for you. I'm telling you what, don't roll the die. That's insulting. I think it's insulting. So, yeah, and Ryan's not the bolus here. That's crazy. I think this is nuts. If you are making a point of rolling the dice all the time, I don't know.
You need
I don't
to go to a casino. You got to go to a casino.
Yeah.
If you want to roll casino. Dice that much, you got to go play the dice games at the casino, whatever they play there. I don't
the
know
dice
what format.
Games.
Whatever formats they have at the casino, that's what you got to go
I'll
to.
I'll tell you what, that makes that episode really easy to end. I tell you that much. I think that's it. We've been talking for a long time. Sorry, Ken. The closer we get to an hour, the happy people will be.
Yes.
Anyway. I think that'll do it for us here at the Bullcast for another episode. Morgan Sanchez is at Indigo Gentleman on all social media, but mainly Blue Sky, which is where we're at. The Bullcast is Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky. Technically, there is still a Twitter account. I just don't use it, baby. And I'm at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on all platforms. Find me, find my comedy albums, find my other podcasts. I do a podcast about Married at First Sight Australia called Stay or Leave now, if that's what you're into and that's what you're watching too. And yeah, let's play some games. Find me online. I play Spell Table a bunch. Let's have some fun. Thanks for listening. We love you so, so much. We can't wait to see you again. Big hugs, big kisses from Mikey and Morgan. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Scoop the day!